live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, one man has died in a road traffic collision in Stranraer. 317 COVID patients are now being treated in hospital across the country, 44 of them in intensive care. The Tyrconnell University Hospital has 13 confirmed cases, 5 suspected and 1 in ICU. Meanwhile, a further 8 people have died of COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, with 493 new cases there. A security alert in Derry has ended. Police say a suspicious device found on the Buncrana Road this morning was an elaborate hoax, and a man's been jailed in Dublin for the murder of Strabane native Michael Barr. Later in the bulletin, Kenny Harkin is here with all the sports news that's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with that fatal collision in Stranraer this morning. It happened at Aberyn, close to McLeay's Corner, at around about 9:20. It involved 2 Jeeps and 1 car. One man has since died. No other injuries were reported. With the details, here's Michaela Clark.
The driver of the car, a man in his 60s, was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital in a critical condition. He has since passed away as a result of his injuries. A post-mortem examination will be conducted at a later date. The road is currently closed as forensic collision investigators are carrying out an examination of the scene with local diversions in place. Gardaí at Ballybofey are appealing for any witnesses to the collision and for any road users who may have camera or dashcam footage who were travelling in the area at the time to make the footage available to Gardaí. Anyone with any information is asked to contact a Ballybofey Garda station on 074 913 7740. The Garda a confidential line on 1-800-666-111 or any Garda station.
A security alert in Derry has ended. Police say a suspicious device discovered in the Buncrana Road area this morning has been examined by technical experts and declared an elaborate hoax. Residents who left their homes have now been allowed to return. 317 COVID-19 patients are now being treated in hospital across the Republic, 44 of them in intensive care. Latest figures for Letterkenny University Hospital show 13 confirmed cases and 5 suspected cases. One person is being treated in ICU in Letterkenny. Well, Niall Colbert has been looking at the national situation.
The number of people in hospital with COVID-19 has dropped by 8 over the past 24 hours. As of this morning, 317 patients were in hospital, according to updated figures from the government's COVID-19 dashboard. It marks the lowest hospitalisation figures since October 24th, 2 days after the country moved to level 5 restrictions. Meanwhile, the number of people receiving intensive care remains unchanged for a third day running, with 44 patients in ICU. 14,095 tests were completed over the past 24 hours, with a positivity rate of 5.2%. The Department of Health will provide an update on COVID-19 case numbers when it holds its Monday briefing at 5:30.
A further 8 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland. There have been 493 new cases. 2,012 people were tested over the space of 24 hours, with 1 in 4 testing positive. There are 379 people in hospital with the virus there and 52 in intensive care. Those figures higher than the figures in the Republic at present. Another man has been jailed for life for his role in the murder of Michael Barr, a Strabane native shot dead as part of the Hutch Kinahan gangland feud in Dublin. David Hunter of White City in London was one of 2 masked gunmen who killed the dissident Republican and Strabane native at the Sunset House pub in 2016. With more, here's Courts correspondent Frank Graney.
Michael Barr was shot 7 times when 2 men wearing Freddy Krueger style masks walked into the pub where he was working on April 25th, 2016. Gardaí linked David Hunter to the shooting through phone evidence and forensics found in the getaway car. His DNA was found on one of the latex masks. Through her victim impact statement, Mr. Barr's sister Nolene said her brother was gunned down on the orders of others, and she said she couldn't understand how a life could be measured by drugs and money. Hunter, who's 42, was handed the mandatory life sentence for murder today. He's the 3rd person to be convicted for what happened to Mr. Barr, but outside court after he was sentenced, Detective Superintendent Colin Murphy said he won't be the last.
At this time, we remember Michael family, his partner and his children. I want to make an appeal today. This is an ongoing investigation. I want to reassure the public that we will bring all those who were involved in this murder to justice.
Sinn Féin has called on Leo Varadkar to publish all of his communications with the now-defunct NAGP. The party says it needs to see the full picture surrounding his sharing of a confidential document with the head of that union. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has the latest.
Opposition parties have been trying to dial the pressure up on Leo Varadkar ahead of his Dáil statement tomorrow. Sinn Féin writing to the Taoiseach to request all communication between the Tánaiste, the NAGP and the Department of Health be published. TD Louise O'Reilly also doesn't accept Varadkar's defence that the contents of the document he shared were already in the public domain.
Information that's in the public domain, if someone rang me and they were looking for it, I wouldn't say I'll print it off, I'll write some notes on it, I'll stick it in a satchel for a courier and get it sent over to you. I would simply say Google it. If it was in the public domain, it clearly wasn't.
Earlier, Taoiseach Micheál Martin backed his Tánaiste, saying he has confidence in him.
There's no financial gain for anyone in terms of the sending this document to the head of the NAGP. That has to be said. There was no material advantage to any person.
But the Greens have been less enthusiastic about their support, preferring to wait to see how the Tánaiste explains himself tomorrow before reacting fully. He'll face an hour and a half in the Dáil explaining himself tomorrow afternoon.
Well, a number of Donegal opposition TDs have committed to grilling Leo Varadkar as part of that process. Sinn Féin Deputy Pearse Doherty says he wants more detail as to what happened. He says more clarity will be necessary from Mr. Varadkar.
You didn't have to be a rocket scientist to know it's confidential. It says it on the front cover. Confidential, not for circulation. It also said in Leo Varadkar's handwriting up in the corner that this document, this agreement, was subject to changes or amendments. So they knew it was confidential, they knew it was explosive, they knew they couldn't publicise the fact that they had it or distribute it to people. And indeed, you can see from the WhatsApp messages that if that version of the document was distributed, Matthew O'Toole suggests that the identity of the person who provided it would be known. So, you know, when you strip all this back, Greg, the issue here is that Leo Varadkar provided a document to a friend, to an insider. It is about who you know. It's about the Old Boys Club. It is about you will get information if you have the right context. It is completely not only inappropriate, it is completely wrong. So therefore, we have to give Leo the chance to answer questions, to make his point. We need to know why he went to, you know, such lengths to find the address of his friend and couriered it across town or posted it across town. When the head office of this firm, this NAGP, is across the road from the Dáil. It is 180 metres away from the gates of Leinster House. Yet Leo Varadkar didn't actually send it over, didn't email it over, didn't give it to the head offices. He actually gave it to his friend.
Meanwhile, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's important that tomorrow is a proper question and answer session. He says it is a very serious situation.
I think there's still a lot of questions out to be asked in relation to this and a lot of answers to be given as well. And as the Tánaiste has said, that he's going to attend in the Dáil tomorrow to provide questions and answer session. And it's very important that that actually is a question and answer session. Because in the recent past in the Dáil, when these kind of situations have arisen, the government has just provided that the person, the minister responsible, would just come in and make a statement and then leave again. And that isn't going to be adequate in this situation because there is very serious questions that need to be asked.
I suppose depending on how that Q&A goes tomorrow, what kind of sanctions do you think Leo Varadkar should face?
Well, it's very hard to know, and I suppose he has to put his own side of the story, but as we can see from this stage now, even at this remove, I think it's very serious for the Taoiseach of the country to have breached confidentiality in such a way, and I don't think that any excuse is adequate in relation to that. Now, obviously, the sanction that will come down will depend basically on Fianna Fáil and the Green Party and his own Fine Gael party, because the government, if they stick together, will just railroad through whatever the decision they make, and that is the problem that we have. I think the Tánaiste will have to give an adequate explanation tomorrow, and that will be very important. And that may cause his own party to waver if he's in any way weak in terms of that.
And that was Deputy Thomas Pringle there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. number of Donegal community groups and schools will share in almost €300,000 in CLAR funding. The money will go toward improving road safety, parking, lighting and footpaths. Among the highlights in Donegal are €50,000 to enhance an existing viewing point and outdoor cinema screen at Glengadden Malham, while Terma National School will get €45,000 for a pedestrian crossing, parking and other works. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh says the funding has come at an ideal time.
The people that have been involved in these applications have been really, really looking hard at how can they provide the space, how can they provide the public space to meet these demands. And the demand is there now. A lot of people are realising that there are public amenities on their doorsteps as well, which they can make use of. But obviously, with the short evenings and the need for public lighting as well, there's an ongoing focus on ensuring that these public amenity areas and public community spaces are safe. And I think that has been quite a focus of these applications.
And we are at a time where so many people have come back to Donegal, whether that be, you know, to remote work and so on. There is a big increase in people now living in rural areas. So this funding is all about that, really, effectively.
The change is transformative, especially for Donegal, when we look at the returning of people from the likes of Australia, people coming back from London, people coming back from Canada. But also there's been a big move from people back from more urban centres in the likes of Galway or Dublin. And the big demand, obviously, is ensuring that there's broadband. And the most important focus now has to be the rollout of the National Development Plan.
And that was Deputy Joe McHugh there. Advanced payments are to be made this week to most farmers taking part in the GLAS scheme. €138 million being provided to the 40,000 participants in the Green Low Carbon Agri-Environment Scheme. Minister of Agriculture Charlie McConnellogue announced the move today, saying the payments are 2 weeks ahead of schedule in what's been a particularly challenging year. Further concern has been expressed about armed cover for Gardaí in Donegal during serious incidents involving weapons. The unit, which covers the county, is based in Ballyshannon, but also covers the Sligo-Leitrim area, and at times simply is not available to provide a swift response to a potential emergency. This can lead to armed responses being sourced from Cavan, Mayo or even Galway, which are hours away. Donegal GRA spokesperson Brendan O'Connor says issues with organised crime in Sligo are now having a knock-on effect for Donegal.
Well, as you identify and has been well flagged by the Gardaí authorities, we have seen during the COVID restrictions and lockdowns that there has been an increase in the incidence of domestic situations. And while this conversation is ongoing for a number of years, a lot of the time it's focused strictly in the border area on issues like terrorism and organised crime. But internationally, including Ireland, international research has shown that some of the most dangerous incidents police officers can attend are those of domestic incidents where emotions are running high and there's a wide availability of weapons such as kitchen knives, boiling water, stuff like that. So certainly those are the incidents that our members are needing adequate support and backup when they're attending. And I suppose when we focus on those issues, we focus on the gap that's there and the patchy cover and the availability of armed support units.
And we do understand that while there have been concerns locally in terms of the armed response unit, I understand that there's issues in Sligo that are stretching it further to the limit.
Well, yes, we've seen commentary from the Chief Superintendent in Sligo in recent months there about the level of organised crime that is prevalent in the city there of Sligo. So, again, the Gardaí in Sligo are calling on appropriate backup when they're dealing with situations, or potential situations. So we just see this this unit in Ballyshannon, which covers Sligo and Leitrim, which is completely understaffed, stretched even further. And as the more they're dragged from pillar to post, the more gaps that are being exposed in the system and what's available.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the latest on Donegal gear online or click and collect at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Just approaching 16 minutes past 5 o'clock, we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games, and Donegal will meet Armagh in the Ulster Senior Championship semi-final on the weekend after next. Armagh, they came through their quarter-final tie against Derry with 2 points to spare on Sunday evening. And earlier yesterday at a rain-drenched McCool Park in Balbofade, Donegal came from behind to defeat Tyrone, also by 2 points on a scoreline of 113-111. Donegal manager Declan Bonner felt the home side just about deserved the victory.
We invited a lot of trouble on ourselves, and we gave away, you know, a number of scores that we'll be disappointed with. But as I said, for us today, it was about getting over the line, and we got over the line, and, you know, there was some big performance out there. The lads, I said, really, really dug deep when we had to, because we're up against a very good Tyrone team, and we knew it was going to come down to small margins. And luckily, we got over the line, but I do feel over the 75, 76 minutes, we were the better side today.
Well, after Tyrone's defeat to Donegal yesterday, there has been some speculation about Mickey Hart's future as Tyrone manager. Former Tyrone All-Ireland winning midfielder Enda McGinley says he would be surprised if Mickey left his position at this time.
Mickey has always been very resolute and very quick to come out and say, absolutely, he's staying on. Why wouldn't he stay on? That's what I expected, to be honest, from him. The fact that he didn't do that has only then added much fuel to the fire in terms of him staying on now next year. The one thing, just from knowing him personally, he is hankering after that All-Ireland title to be won without that original team, if you know what I mean, to win it with a new team. He has got within the top four several times with this current team, but always with that Achilles heel of that real lack of out-and-out talent up top that he's been trying to address. I find it strange to think he would stand down now whenever suddenly that appears to be there, and that thrown by most people's accounts with that squad that they're gathering are maybe getting closer than they have been. I find it strange that he would relinquish that chance to somebody else.
You can hear more from Enda McGinley and former Donegal All-Ireland winner Eamon McGee looking back at yesterday's game, and lots more on tonight's DL debate with Brendan Devaney. Manus Boyle, he'll also be on the show to talk all things GAA and look back to 25 years ago to the Killybegs Championship winning team. As I say, that's all on the DL debate after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, the GAA has confirmed the times, dates and venues for next weekend's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship qualifiers. Both first round matches will be played on Saturday, with Clare and Laois first up at Nolan Park from 1:15. Cork and Dublin, they meet at Semple Stadium from 3:45. The winners of those games will advance to the second round, with Tipperary and Wexford, who both received a bye following this morning's draw. Well, Gaelic games bodies will receive almost €31 million euro to help battle the impact of COVID-19. €15 million alone will help cover the cost of respective inter-county championships. It's all part of an €85 million euro package announced by Sport Ireland, who also allocated the IRFU €18 million euro and the FEI €13 million euro. Well, champions Shamrock Rovers, they made 13 wins from their 15 league games as they won 2-0 away to Fun Harps last night in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division. It was another game where the conditions were pretty awful for both sets of players last night. Fun Harps assistant manager Paul Higgerty says he felt there was little between the teams.
Disappointed. Very, very disappointed. I thought the effort that the players put on were coming in the back of, that's our third game in a week, and they're coming on nice and fresh and in, and I thought we looked really, really powerful in that game. Thought we matched them toe to toe for long periods, and we had an awful lot of, we'll say, opportunities around their 18 and in their 18 yard box, and they seemed to get the wee breaks tonight and around there, you know. And to be fair to them, they defended for their lives and around that their own 18 yard box, and that's why they're champions.
Yes, Fun Harps' final league game is next Sunday evening at 7:30 when they host Waterford United. Elsewhere, Mick McCarthy's been handed an 18-month contract at Apoel Nicosia. The former Republic of Ireland boss takes over with the club 10th in the Cypriot First Division. He'll be assisted by his regular lieutenant, Terry Connor. On the pitch tonight, Leicester, they're looking to go second in the Premier League. Victory at Leeds will move them above Tottenham and a point behind leaders Liverpool. Kickoff at Elland Road is at 8 o'clock. And there's a game getting underway very shortly at 5:30 at Craven Cottage when bottom side Fulham, they entertain West Brom. Well, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has defended his striker Mo Salah against claims he took a dive to win a penalty against West Ham on Saturday. The forward went down dramatically after getting a kick on the foot from Arthur Masisaki at Anfield. VAR backed the referee's decision to award a penalty, and Klopp says there was clear contact.
It was a foul. I think it was pretty much where everybody who saw the situation saw it. Believe it or not, yesterday morning I spoke to Mo about how he feels, and he has exactly 3 proper knocks on the foot, and one of them is from the penalty situation.
Up in Scotland, Rangers Managing Director Stuart Robertson has described the breach of COVID-19 protocols by two players as totally unacceptable. The Scottish Premiership leaders have suspended Jordan Jones and George Edmondson for attending a private gathering yesterday with others outside their household. They have to self-isolate for 14 days. Finally, for this evening in rugby, Ulster and Leinster, they're both in action tonight in the Guinness Pro 14. Ulster, they're away to the Cardiff Blues, where they'll be aiming to maintain their unbeaten start to the season. Kickoff in Wales is at 6 o'clock, and Rhys Ruddock will captain Leinster again as they look to continue their 100% start to the season after against the Glasgow Warriors. That game in Glasgow gets underway at 8:15. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. By Donegal Weekend gets underway later this week. It's a new campaign to showcase businesses in the county. It provides an opportunity for businesses in Donegal to highlight their products and services and encourage people to purchase them. The initiative, which is being backed by Donegal County Council, will take place from November 6th to 8th. That's this coming weekend. With more detail, here's Amarose Callaghan.
Buy Donegal Weekend provides a platform for Donegal businesses to highlight their product and service. The initiative will offer consumers an opportunity to buy locally in time for Christmas, giving their loved ones something special from Donegal. It is supported with an online marketing campaign, including a dedicated buydonegal.ie website, where consumers can find out more about the products and services on offer from Donegal. People can support the campaign and Donegal businesses over the weekend by simply buying a Donegal product or service and sharing an image of it on social media using the hashtag #BuyDonegalWeekend. For businesses in the county who have not yet signed up for the campaign, Donegal County Council are advising they register their details on buydonegal.ie.
Weather forecast: further scattered showers overnight, some of them heavy with a possibility of thunder. Chilly under clear spells with lowest temperatures 1 to 4 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh southwesterly winds easing during the night. It'll be a cool day tomorrow with sunny spells and scattered showers, some of the showers heavy and thundery with a risk of hail. Highest temperatures 7 to 9 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate westerly winds, fresher on coasts but easing toward evening. And that's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief. One man in his 60s has died following a collision in Stranraer. It happened at Admiran, close to Maclay's Corner, at around about 20 past nine this morning. Two jeeps and one car. The man who died in hospital after the collision was the driver of the car. He was in his 60s. A security alert in Derry has ended. Police say a suspicious device discovered in the Buncrana Road area this morning has been examined and declared an elaborate hoax. Residents who left their homes have now been allowed to return. There are 317 COVID-19 patients being treated today in hospital, 44 of them in intensive care. Latest figures for Letterkenny show confirmed cases in the University Hospital here at 13, with 5 suspected cases and 1 person in ICU. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 2nd of November. The death has occurred of Kevin McGinley, Dundalk, County Louth, and formerly of Mina Harvey, Carrick, Donegal. His remains will arrive at his home in Mina Harvey at 7:30 this evening. Removal to St Patrick's Church, Mina Neary, for funeral mass at 12 noon tomorrow, with burial afterwards in Carrick Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the house wake and burial are private to family and close friends. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the hospice suite, Killybegs Community Hospital, through Curran's Funeral Services, or any family member. The death has taken place of Michael Diver, Letcher, Urus, Clonmany. His remains will repose this evening at his brother Dan and sister-in-law Jill's residence. Funeral mass on Wednesday in St Michael's Church, Urus, at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to our Clogher Community Group homes, care of any family member, or Comiskey funeral directors. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. Funeral mass can be viewed live on the Clonmany Together Facebook page. The death has taken place of Joe McGlinchey, 12 Tullymone Road, Claddy. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Columbus Church, Dunny Loop, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed live via the parish Facebook page or YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Morel Colquhoun, Killian Mallon. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock to Mallon Presbyterian Church, Lag, for funeral service at 11:30. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 o'clock. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Family flowers only, donations if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society, care of Pat Kelly, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Nuala McLafferty, Ballinally, Moville. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. Funeral tomorrow morning at 11 in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the parish website, movilleparish.com. The death has taken place of Neely McCurry, Kildara Dunfanaghy. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow at 11, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. In compliance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Michael's Church, Creasla. The death has occurred of Moira Friel, Knockbrack, Fanad. Funeral leaving there tomorrow at 1:30 to St Columba's Church, Massmount, arriving at 2 o'clock for Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the palliative care team, care of Charlie Dunleavy, Funeral Director, or any family member. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Des Finneran, Drumburne, Milford. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Peter's Church, Milford, followed by interment in Milford Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the St Vincent de Paul Society, care of any family member or McIlwee Funeral Directors. In accordance with current government and HSC restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/St Peter's Church, Milford.